Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." The word of God for the people of God.
I hope you all don't mind if I sit. I don't know if you're a lot like me. Maybe you are in this way, where you feel like you're the only one in your house who knows how to load the dishwasher correctly. There's the right place for the larger plates to go, and the right place for the smaller plates to go. There's the right direction for the silverware to go in their containers. There's the right way for this kind of bowl and that kind of bowl to go. And the cutting boards and cookie sheets really only have one place to go, and you can't load too many of them at a time. And if you live with other people, you might have children or significant others who just mess it up every time. And then you have to go back and fix it. Because you can't just leave it like that. I confess that sometimes I'm like that, not just about the dishwasher, but other things too. And I'm not sure, I'm a bit dubious about saying this on a format that's being permanently recorded and left out on the interwebs. But sometimes I realize that there's a better way to do something than the way I do it. I don't like admitting that. The house that I live in, we've been there for about 7 years. And you know, you move to a new place, you get a new dishwasher, however that works out. You got to learn the right way for that dishwasher. But sometimes it gets to be this thing of, well, that's the way I do it because that's the way I've always done it. Now, sometimes that's the right way to do it because really there's been trial and error. Yeah. But if you do something because that's the way you've always done it, for me, this is not universal and I'm clear about that. For me, if the sole reason is that's the way we've always done it, I don't think that's a valid reason. I have a sign in my office. It's the same sign that I've had in my last three offices. And it says, "That's the way we've always done it." And then it has a red circle and a line through it. Sometimes experience teaches us the right way to do a thing. And that's one thing. But if the reason we do a thing is that's the way we've always done it, then I'm not sure that's a valid reason. I bring this up because we're talking about baptism today. And there are religious people who have very strong feelings about baptism and the right way to do baptism. Why is one particular way the right way to do baptism? Do you know the reason? Because that's the way we've always done it. Did you know that in our own United Methodist tradition, in recent history, We have had to reclaim the idea of baptism because we felt like it got lost. We felt like the importance and the meaning and even the tradition of baptism got lost. It became less sacramental, less holy. And it's part of our DNA as United Methodists, part of our history of United Methodists. You surely remember that the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, was an Anglican priest. He came from the Anglican tradition. He had zero intention of starting a new denomination. None. He got together with his brother and some friends in school. Let's have a study. Let's hold each other accountable. They were so rigid in their practices, of course, that's where we got the name Methodists. It was a derogatory term. Oh, you Methodists. And the Wesley brothers and their friends did something brilliant. They embraced the term instead of allowing it to color them with negativity. Now, the Methodist Church didn't do much there in Oxford or in England, but it took off here in the early colonies, in the early United States. But there weren't a lot of Methodist preachers in the early U.S., in the early colonies. So there were lots of lay leaders. And the meaning behind baptism got lost. We began doing baptisms for any reason. You stubbed your toe, let's do a baptism. It's your birthday, let's do a baptism. You're going to join the church, let's do a baptism. You got married, let's do a baptism. And without, listen, I'm a little on the fence on our practice about this because in the United Methodist tradition, only an ordained elder or a provisional elder in their place of appointment, only an ordained elder is authorized to preside over the sacrament of baptism. But that's not because we think that somehow the elders are somehow more special or more holy. We're not. Tara and I may have been singing loudest on that last verse about the sinners coming down to the river to pray. But because the theology behind baptism is essential to understanding what's happening. And if we just do this without any understanding, then we are participating in desacramentalizing baptism. In the Gospel of Matthew, John the Baptist is out along the Jordan River, and he's doing something somewhat unusual. Now, there are ideas of ritual cleansing in the Jewish tradition. Remember, most of the folks who were there are from the Jewish tradition, and there are ideas of ritual cleansing. And John the Baptist was preaching messages of repentance and turning away from sin. And then his cousin shows up. Remember, they're cousins, Jesus and John the Baptist. John knows instantly, this is not someone that I have any authority to baptize. I will tell you, by the way, every time I have the privilege and honor of doing a baptism, whether it's an adult or an infant, I have that same thought. This is not someone I should be baptizing. I don't have that. I don't have that spiritual everything that I think might be essential for presiding over baptism. And yet, John was assured, as I am every time, that you are not alone. And that what you're doing is the right thing because there are forces at work here in this moment that are bigger than you. You see, we use symbols of water in baptism. We have symbols of cleansing, and we use words about the theology that I'll get into in a moment. But we must understand that the work of baptism is not by an elder, not by a pastor, not by a special person, not by the person being baptized, not by those who are witnesses. The work of baptism is done exclusively and wonderfully by God's Holy Spirit. That's why in extraordinary circumstances, anyone can perform a baptism. Anyone. Did you know that in extraordinary circumstances, anyone can perform a baptism? Some of our doctors and nurses in the room may know, especially if you grew up United Methodist, that there is someone, if there is someone who is near death, if there is an infant who is near death who hasn't been baptized, and there is no chaplain or there's no person around who can come and perform a baptism, get some water and just do it. Did you know that? That's in our polity. Fact check, am I right? Yep. If Tara says I'm right, then I must be right. In those extraordinary circumstances, when a parent of a child or an adult themselves says, I need this, I know I'm near the end, anybody can do it. There's not a lot of time to go through the theology, but what's important is that God's Holy Spirit is who does the work in those moments. Now, when we're in this setting, when we're in the worship setting, of course we want to understand the theology. We want to understand the cleansing of the water. But among the things we argue about are how should the baptism be done? Is just a sprinkling okay? What about full immersion? There are those who say, well, full immersion is essential. Is it? What about baptism of infants versus baptism of persons who feel like they're old enough to make the decision for themselves? That's a big deal between Protestant churches. What about re-baptism? Can you get re-baptized? Now, I want to tell you the United Methodist perspective on these things, but I hope that you will prayerfully consider how you understand God's work. In the United Methodist tradition, we believe and affirm infant baptism. And in the United Methodist tradition, we don't think you ever need to be rebaptized. If you've ever been baptized, the Holy Spirit has already done the Holy Spirit's work, and that doesn't ever need to be redone. But let me read it to you in a more formal sense. There is a document called By Water and the Spirit that was released in 2008. It was a byproduct of the 2008 General Conference of the United Methodist Church, and it was the first sacramental document focused on holy baptism. It's a fairly long document. It's about 28 pages. If you want to read the whole thing, that's fine. Let me know, and I'll get it to you. But I want to read these four paragraphs from the introduction. Contemporary United Methodism is attempting to recover and revitalize its understanding of baptism. To do this, we must look to our heritage as Methodists and Evangelical United Brethren, and indeed to the foundations of Christian tradition. Throughout our history, baptism has been viewed in diverse and even contradictory ways. An enriched understanding of baptism, restoring the Wesleyan blend of sacramental and evangelical aspects, will enable United Methodists to participate in this sacrament with renewed appreciation for this gift of God's grace. Within the Methodist tradition, baptism has long been a subject of concern, even controversy. John Wesley retained the sacramental theology which he received from his Anglican heritage. He taught that in baptism, a child was cleansed of the guilt of original sin, initiated into the covenant with God, admitted into the church, made an heir of the divine kingdom, and spiritually born anew. He said that while baptism was neither essential to nor... He said that while baptism was neither essential to nor sufficient for salvation, it was the ordinary means that God designated for applying the benefits of the work of Christ in human lives. On the other hand, although he affirmed the regenerating grace of infant baptism, he also insisted upon the necessity of adult conversion for those who have fallen from grace. A person who matures into moral accountability must respond to God's grace in repentance and faith. Without personal decision and commitment to Christ, the baptismal gift is rendered ineffective. Baptism for Wesley, therefore, was a part of the lifelong process of salvation. He saw spiritual rebirth as a twofold experience in the normal process of Christian development, to be received through baptism in infancy and through commitment to Christ later in life. Salvation included both God's initiating activity of grace and a willing human response. Now, how do we live that out of the United Methodist tradition? Do we baptize infants? Yes. But then what? we have confirmation. Where adolescents, when they are at an age where they are able to make a decision for themselves, claim their faith for themselves. Now, maybe someone was baptized as a child and doesn't go to church through their adolescence, but during our membership vows, we offer an opportunity to remember and affirm the promises made at baptism. Wesley was brilliant at taking an either-or argument and making it both and. Infant baptism is a beautiful practice that initiates a child into a community of faith to be nurtured and uplifted and taught. And later are opportunities to claim one's faith for one's own. In all of this, just as we read in the Gospel of Matthew, where this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, this is before he goes out into the wilderness and experiences temptation, the very beginning of his ministry is baptism. And I think that's an essential way for us to consider baptism. It is a beginning. It is a beginning of a lifelong journey. It is my hope that it's a beginning that changes us in profound ways, that initiates us into connection and community, which also change us. Connection and community are one way that I believe we experience God's Holy Spirit that changes us. Baptism is a beginning. Now, in the United Methodist tradition, we also have an experience that we would call a remembrance or a reaffirmation of baptism. Maybe you've participated in a remembrance or reaffirmation of baptism. It's not the same as a baptism. You're not being rebaptized. It is a remembrance. It is an affirmation of the promises that were made on your behalf or that you made when you were baptized, but also an affirmation that the community itself participates in. A reaffirmation of baptism is an opportunity to remember the beginning, to remember that you, as happened when the clouds opened and the voice spoke, have been named and have been claimed, that you are different and new than you were before. It is a chance to remember that beginning, so that you may respond. On this Sunday that is the baptism of the Lord, you have the opportunity to remember your baptism. As we remember God's gift of water, we remember the stories of water, the stories of crossing the Jordan River, even before the stories of Moses being placed in a river, then his people crossing that river into a promised land. We remember John the Baptist at that same river, baptizing and proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. We remember Jesus coming from the water. We remember the clouds opening and the Spirit descending like a dove and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." We may or may not remember our own baptism, and that we honor its beginning as we have been made anew. And so we offer this prayer that God blesses this water and all who may remember their baptism this day, all who wish to remember their beginnings, to remember that they are made anew and sustained by your Holy Spirit, O God, made whole, made new, and made for a purpose of being connected in community so that together we might shine the light of Christ that we know shines within us. May God bless each of us in remembrance, in hope, in peace, and in certainty of God's grace. Amen.